County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for tonight's very special episode of TCCP is none other than up-and-coming Leicestershire leg spin wizard, Rehan Ahmed. So Rehan, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast tonight. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, how's your day been so far, mate?
Yeah, it's been good. Came out from college earlier, quite relaxed. So I'm going to chat now.
Not a bad day, to be honest, Rehan. And talking of college, how's the reaction been since you've come back from that Under-19 World Cup in the Caribbean? Have you had a lot of comments? Have you had a lot of people talking about your performances? Or has it been a little bit low-key for the moment?
No, so it's been quite the opposite of low-key. I'm seeing people when I'm going to David Lloyd or Jim and whatever, just saying comments, like, saying nice stuff to me. So very grateful for it.
Oh, that is excellent here. And to be honest, Rehan, it has been an absolute pleasure watching you in the Caribbean, in particular that game against Afghanistan. I think we'll talk about that in a lot more detail as the podcast progresses. But it was a tournament to remember, wasn't it, for the boys out there in the Caribbean?
Yeah, 100%. Learned a lot from there. Obviously, we got to the finals. Disappointed not to win the thing, but at the same time, couldn't be prouder. So, great experience.
Oh, excellent here, Rehan. And to be fair, the boys did us all very, very proud. First final of the Under-19 World Cup in 24 years. So you think of all the fantastic Under-19 cricketers who've come and gone before you. None of them reached the final. So that in itself is an immense achievement. And as I've said beforehand, I think not just myself, but the entire country, very, very proud of what the boys achieved over there. And of course, we'll touch upon that in a lot more detail as today's episode gets underway. But just for the listeners out there, for those who are unfamiliar with how it works here at the County Cricket Podcast, I'll be talking to Rehan today about his earliest cricketing memories. Then we'll have a large focus of the conversation, of course, surrounding Leicestershire County Cricket Club and that Under-19 World Cup out in the Caribbean. And then we'll end today's podcast with a few Twitter questions. So Rehan, I want to transport you all the way back to the origin of your cricketing journey, if I may. So what were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching this spectacular game?
Well, I've been playing cricket as I can remember. I can't remember the day I actually started, or I can't remember back to the day when I didn't like cricket. I think when I was 6 or 7, I started playing hardball cricket for under-10s at Trent Bridge. My dad would take me down on Saturdays, Sundays. Since then, I just loved it, so just carried on with it.
Fair enough. I also like the fact that Trent Bridge was mentioned there, of course. So was there a county cricket element in there in those formative years, or was it just international?
Obviously, I used to play for Nottinghamshire, now I play for Leicester. So just some club cricket we used to play, quick cricket stuff, and then progressed to hardball. Got into the county set about 8 for the under-10s for Notts. So, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. So again, a nice journey into the game then. And also very much family orientated. A lot of influence then came from your dad, I'm guessing.
Yeah, a lot of influence from my dad. Dad's my first coach. Dad and Andrew Jackman. But obviously, when I never used to go cricket before that, I was in the garden playing. And obviously, my dad and my coach, and he still is. So yeah, much led by my dad.
Oh, that's excellent to hear, Rehan. It really is. And aside from your dad, then, who, as you've just said there, massive influence in the tentative steps of your cricketing journey. Who in the world of professional cricket did you try to almost idolise and emulate in those earliest of years? Was there anybody in the game itself, either on a domestic or an international level, who you tried to formulate your game off of, per se?
I've always liked watching Kevin Peterson, but and he's my favourite player. The way he takes down the bowlers, his mindset, if you're struggling against him, you're going to try and take him down. I've always liked Kevin Peterson. I did try and bat like him for a couple of years, didn't work out, but he's still my favourite player. So.
Well, yeah, I think we all try to bat like KP. I struggled. I'm going to be honest, Rehan. I never quite made it. Still haven't to this day. With the village batting average of 11.5, I don't think you're going to see me playing for England anytime soon, to be honest. But it's funny you mentioned KP there, because KP obviously is a batter. What about in terms of the bowling department, or in those early years, were you not so much into your bowling per se?
I started bowling since I started. I've always been a kind of an all-rounder, but I started focusing more on bowling when I was 11, 12 years old. Before that, I used to be a bit of a seamer, a bit of an off-spinner, a bit of a leg spinner, and a bit of a keeper. So, yeah, so bowling came a bit later. So I always enjoy batting more, and I still do. I still enjoy batting a little bit more. But I see myself more as a batting all-rounder, others say different.
It's funny you mention that, because we had your academy coach, Alistair Maiden, on the podcast, actually, a few episodes back. And he mentioned about your batting. You do take a lot of pride in it, but I suppose in recent weeks, and of course in the 2021 season, the main focus for us, I suppose, as fans in the county circuit itself, has been your bowling. And I just wanted to know about this, because I was interested to hear that you weren't always a leg spinner. So why did you become a leg spinner in the first place? What was it about leg spin as an art form which drew you in the first place?
Well, I've always wanted to be a bit different, and I like challenges. So, I used to be a seamer, and I was quite small, and I didn't see the point in bowling seam if you don't bowl 100 mile an hour, 90 mile an hour. If you're not going to hit someone in the head, then there's no point bowling seam. So I did try. We went to a net, and obviously I tried one off spinner, and it didn't go as well. And there were loads of off spinners, so I thought I would just be the same. But I didn't hear of many leg spinners at the start. Even there was no Rashid Khan, I don't think. There was only Shane Warne, Moshe Khan were the only leg spinners I've heard of, Shahid Afridi. So obviously I tried leg spinner, went all right, and I was like, it's easy. Until I found out 2 weeks down the line is the hardest thing to bowl. So after that, I just thought I'd stick with it. It was a challenge, so I could always just keep improving.
It's interesting to hear that you found it easy. I'm going to be honest, Rehan, I've tried leg spin. I'm a failed seam bowler who became an off spinner. I try so hard to bowl leg breaks. They always end up either getting smashed for six behind my head or on the roof of the net. Either or. Never get wickets with them. So, yeah, that's why I'm an off spin bowler as opposed to a leg. It's a ridiculously, ridiculously hard skill to master.
Yeah, it's so hard. Yeah.
It is. And you mentioned three names there, and I'm so happy that you did, because they're three outstanding leg spinners. Shane Warne, just the second all-time leading test wicket taker of all time with the 708 wickets. Shahid Afridi in there as well. And Rashid Khan. You also mentioned Mushtaq Ahmed. In fact, we'll add him as a fourth. If you could have a dream net session bowling with one of those players, who would you choose and why?
I would choose Rashid Khan. I've had a net with Shane Warne already. So
when was that?
Well, I did that when I was 13. I went down to bowl at Lord's to the West Indies, and Shane Warne was commentating, and Steve Kirby was there, the head of MCC at the time. And he called me over, and he was saying, "You're going to meet Shane Warne." But obviously, I thought I'm just going to meet him. But he came down to the nets, and I had like a full 40-minute session with him. Probably the greatest memory I've had about bowling. That was great. So right now, I think Rashid Khan.
Fair enough. He's a master, isn't he, Rashid Khan? And it's funny, actually, because in terms of your bowling style, Rehan, I'd say I do see little flashes of Rashid Khan in terms of the trajectory. You're a bit of a flatter spinner as opposed to Shane Warne. Would you agree with that, or would you have a different opinion?
No, well I agree with you 100%. But even a year, if you see me how I was bowling a year ago, it was literally trying to bowl at Rashid Khan. I was bowling around 60 mile an hour flat leg spinners. Just recently, I've been doing some work with Richard Dawson, and West Indies series, Sri Lanka series, and the World Cup to work on my bowling, and it's helped me quite a lot with control and stuff. So, yeah.
Interesting to hear that. He's a great coach, isn't he? Richard Dawson. He's a fantastic leader, very knowledgeable, gives great information, and was a wonderful coach at Gloucestershire as well. So, yeah, not a bad mentor at all to have there with Richard Dawson. And in terms of leg spin, again, as the art form, Rehan, I think I know the answer to this, but what is your favourite delivery to bowl as a leg spinner?
Googly.
Yeah.
I see Googly. I like bowling leg spinners, but I like attacking options. And I think Googly gives more threat than a leg spinner does. I mean, like, as if hitting the stumps and RBW and what's that. So yeah, I just like bowling the Googly. And it's funny because in nets, I don't bowl it as much now because it's one of them things in my head. I'm like, I can always count on it. So now I'm literally just trying to focus on leg spin. And at the end of the session, I might bowl a couple of Googlies. But in games, if I'm getting hit or I'm under pressure or something, my Googly's my go-to ball. So,
as we saw in the Caribbean against Afghanistan, which was quite incredible, to be honest. The one against Akhmadzai, oh my word. That was textbook wrong, and that was like Adil Rashid's wrong, and that was absolutely sumptuous. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail later on. But in terms of the Googly, Rehan, I suppose, how did you actually learn that in the first place? Did it come quite naturally, or have you had to put a lot of work into that in terms of the release point, in terms of the angles of attack going into that? Is that something which came quite naturally to you? Has it always been a potent X factor in your game, or is that something that's developed recently over the years?
Well, it was quite weird because I developed the Googly quite late. Well, I say late, but when I was 12, 13, like a year into my bowling leg spin. But it was by accident because I had a month off because I had some problem with my knee. And I came back and I was bowling my arm above my head. And obviously, if you bowl your arm that high, the ball's, you're going to generally bowl Googlies and your leg spin won't spin. So I was thinking, why is the ball's not spinning? Obviously, I went to the coach. And he said, obviously, your arm's quite high and that's where you release a Googly from. And obviously, I literally just turned my wrist around a little bit and bowled a Googly. And I didn't realise what I bowled. And I bowled it in front of my dad a couple of weeks later. And he was like, you know, I had to bowl a Googly. I said, what's that? And he said, what you just bowled, do it again. So he thought I was bowling an off-spinner. So it was turning in. And I said, no, it's not off-spinner, it's something else. And so I bowled it again. He's like, yeah, it's a Googly. I said, really? And then since then, when I did bowl a good Googly, it's like the best feeling I've had playing bowling anyway. Like through the gate Googly, like an off spinner through the gate. So yeah, after that, I just tried to work on it for like, literally been working on my Googly.
To be honest, I think we can tell because that's been your calling card, not just in county cricket, but under 19 World Cup as well. You know, when you got Charles Dagnall on commentary saying that it's such a potent weapon, it's massive praise to have at such a young age. And honestly, Rehan, it's a very, very dangerous threat to have in your repertoire at this young age. And in terms of that repertoire, I'm not saying just immediately right now, just not the near future, but I suppose long-term as well. Are you looking to add some different variations to your arsenal of leg spin, or for the time being, you're happy with the Googly, the top spinner and the leg spinner?
Well, I've actually got a few variations. I've got slider, flippers, I've got Azuda, so I've got more, but I've don't really bounce them or in big games. So obviously, if I play club games and stuff when the pressure's not as much, I will try them out, because if I bowl them in a game, I'll get a different kind of confidence from it than bowling them in a net. So I think the more like club level I play, and that's why I think club cricket's so important, because it gives you freedom to try stuff out, and if it goes well, then it gives you confidence to bowl in it in bigger games. So yeah, I've got a couple, but I haven't mastered them as much as I wanted to just yet. So I'm just relying on my two or three, which I've got right now. So
that's sensible. And again, you've got plenty of time to hone and develop those crafts, to be honest, Rehan. It's quite a nice time in your career, to be honest, because you've had an excellent start. You've got those three stock balls ready to go in a game day situation. And yeah, you've got plenty of time to learn the other ones. So yeah, world's your oyster, to be honest, when it comes to spin bowling at the moment. And just one final thing about spin bowling before we talk about Nottinghamshire, and of course you moved to Leicestershire in the years that followed. Let's say that you are under a bit of pressure in a match day situation, right? Let's say that someone's hit you for a couple of boundaries. What is your mentality in order to, you know, maybe stem the flow of runs? Are you someone who might go to a leg break and try to, you know, tighten the pressure, maybe bowl a dot ball? Or would you rather go to that potent googly and bowl them through the gates? What's your kind of approach to bowling in that situation?
Well, I've always been an attacking bowler. And so even when I've gone hit through a few boundaries, if I've got hit off bad balls to boundaries, I'm not too bothered because they're bad balls, they should be put away. But obviously, if he's hit my good balls, my good leg spinners for fours or sixes, then obviously I'll bowl a googly. If he's hit my googlies for sixes and fours, I'll bowl a leg spinner. So it depends where his swing is. If he's always targeting mid-wicket area and stuff, then obviously I'll try and bowl a leg spinner. I'll bowl a leg spinner a bit wider and slower. So depends on the batsman. But if you're saying, like against Afghanistan, when I bowled to them, the natural swing was mid-wicket, but as the wind was the opposite direction, and that was the biggest boundary of the ground. I thought if they had hit it for 60, it's a massive hit. So I banked my googly then. So it just depends on the situation, I guess.
I love that answer. That shows a thinking cricketer. Right there, I respect that, Rehan. Again, that's a very, very good trait to possess at such a young age in your career. And talking of that career, because first and foremost, it started in the East Midlands at Nottinghamshire. So in terms of your memories surrounding Notts, what were your first kind of impressions of Nottinghamshire County Cricket Club and the facilities that they have?
Well, I love Notts. Notts was a great county. Obviously, didn't work out as much as I wanted to work out. But at the same time, they couldn't have done more for me. I was in EPP from age of 9, age of 10. I didn't quite get into the academy, but I was literally in the EPP from 9 till 13 until I left. So yeah, the facilities are great. Trent Bridge, Woodhead Hall, you go to Loughborough Uni every now and then. Great coaches. So yeah, it's a very, very good county, especially being at home county, a test match ground as well. Obviously it's massive. But I'm with Leicester, so.
Yeah, you are, Rehan. But with that being said, you know, don't forget where your roots come from in Nottinghamshire. You know, it's all part and parcel of your career. It's all part of that learning journey. So honestly, you know, it's fine to mention Notts. It really is. But as you rightfully said, Leicestershire, that is the current home. How did that move materialise in the first place? How did you go from Nottinghamshire to Leicestershire? And what were the kind of things which catalysed that move in the first place?
Well, there was a few things. I guess, obviously, Nottinghamshire. I always play cricket for enjoyment, and I'd seen myself thinking like too much when I'm bad and being told what to do so much during games. And I think I was just so much pressure, and I felt like I was like squeezed when I was only 11 or 12. And I felt like it's too early for that much pressure for me. I just wanted to play for enjoyment. So obviously just build it up a little bit. Didn't get fed up, but I was like, I want to try somewhere else. It didn't really affect my performance, but it wasn't really about my performances. I think obviously wherever you are, if you've trained, then you will perform somewhere. So it wasn't about performance. It was more about what I feel like inside, in my own head. And I wasn't enjoying it as much, but obviously as soon as I went to Leicester, it was like I'm home. The way they treated me and my brother, because we both moved, the way they treated both of us was great. And even now, couldn't ask for more from them. So
they are a lovely club, aren't they? The Foxes, yeah. Some really, yeah, really good
great
people.
Club. Great
Absolutely.
Club.
Very much a community, almost a family style of club. I always, you know, relate Leicestershire to. It's just a fantastic place, I think, to play your cricket. And as they say, it's called the Academy of Cricket at Grace Road. So yeah, not many better places, to be honest, in order to kickstart that professional journey into the game. And again, Rehan, because you'd moved from Nottinghamshire to Leicestershire, what were your first impressions of Leicestershire as a club? I know, very welcoming. I'm guessing that you've absolutely loved your time at Grace Road there so far, from having heard that passage just then. But in terms of the club itself, in terms of the people involved at Leicestershire County Cricket Club, what were your first kind of impressions of them as a club?
Well, my first impression was like I knew it was my county, that I knew I wanted to be a professional cricket for the county, as We went to Crown Hills. We were just doing it was my first session. It was on a Thursday evening, a spin bowling session. It was like a trial thing for me, but other training session for others. And obviously the head coach was Paul Nixon, and I'd never knew I'll see him until I played for the first team. But he was with the under 10s, under 11s, showing them how to keep and bat in Crown Hills. So I was like, if a head coach can, you wouldn't really go to a massive county and see the head coach be working with under 10s, under 11s. As obviously the thing, they got better things to do. But the way I see Paul Nixon do that, it just brought everything together, really. I was like, it was crazy. So I knew it was the one.
Well, I know, Rehan, you'll have just put a nice smile on the faces of the Leicestershire fans out there listening to today's podcast. And of course, Paul Nixon, if he is tuning in, he's an absolute titan for the East Midlands County, absolutely lives and breathes Leicestershire County Cricket Club. He'd do anything for them. He really would. He's a great coach, lovely man. Can't say enough good things about Nico. Really is just one of the real good guys in the game of cricket. Yes. And aside from Nico, who else at Leicestershire would you say has really shaped and carved your journey so far, Rehan? Is there anyone else who's really, you know, been instrumental in your developments at Leicestershire so far in the tentative steps of your professional journey?
Well, yeah, I could give all the coaches a shout out, really, from literally everyone. Obviously, there's Alistair Maiden, helped me a lot. He only joined recently, helped me a lot with my batting. Dips Patel, second team head coach, he's a great man. He'll come in whenever I've asked him before the England stuff. He'll come in and he wouldn't look. He even came in on Diwali when obviously it's a religious day. He even came in then to train me to do one-to-one, so I couldn't literally ask more for him. So you can't get enough praise. Obviously there's Jigar Naik, bit of spin and stuff, as well as spin bowling coach. And obviously there's another person, Raheem Ali. He's known us, me and my brothers, since a very, very young age. So it's not even more that he's a coach, he's more like a mentor type person. So obviously, he's literally like a friend, but at the same time, he's coached franchises and stuff. So he's always available for us. So big thanks to him too. So
a lot of people shout out then, to be honest.
There's loads more as well. So it's like Dave Whitmore, literally just fantastic coach. There's Phil De Freitas, obviously he's played for England how many years. So there's so many people. There's so many people there.
There most certainly are. But Rehan, that's a really, really good sign then. So you've got a lot of backing, a lot of support, clearly at Leicestershire County Cricket Club. And I do have to give a special mention actually to Raheem Ali, because he actually set this podcast up. So big up to Raheem. He's an absolutely lovely bloke and quite clearly a very, very good mentor to yourself as well, Rehan.
Yeah, not just to myself. There's a couple of us. Obviously me and my brother. So he's like he came to me yesterday as well, and it's just you just think that he might have better things to do, but he's got time. He makes time for us. So couldn't ask more from him.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic here. And as well, Raheem, I hope you're tuning in. I hope you're tuning in for this, because this is really, really nice to hear, to be honest, as the host of the County Cricket Podcast. And actually, Rehan, we haven't spoken too much about Raheem, but you do, of course, you know, share a place in and around that Leicestershire setup with your brother. What's that like? You know, how proud is that for you both to be on the Leicestershire staff?
Well, yeah, exactly. The thing, he left Notts. He was fine at Notts. He was enjoying everything, but he was willing to leave Notts with me. So obviously since then he came to Leicester, obviously he's loved it too. The academy flew out to Sri Lanka yesterday, and they've reached there today. So obviously it's great to just be with my brother, playing cricket with my brother. Obviously you come back home after, if they're winning or losing a game, and you tell each other what you've done wrong and you take digs at each of them, whatever. Like even if I've got 110 and 5 wickets, you'll still be taking digs at me saying that I missed this ball and stuff. So, it's quite fun, and hopefully you'll get a contract soon so we'll be with each other in the first team.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? You two playing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Goodness me. That'd be an immensely proud occasion for your family as well, especially your dad, considering all that he's done.
Yeah. And obviously, I've got my little brother too. He's still at Notts. He's Yeah, he'll be a very good player. He's 13 now. He's in the academy already. He'll be 14 later on this month, but he will be a very good player.
Goodness me, Ryan. Talented family, eh?
Yeah. He's. I think he's the most talented out of all of us. My little brother, he's a very, very good off spinner. I think normally I face off spinners and I like facing off spinners. But there's something about, obviously, I don't know. He's got me out in the under 18 county game too. So, well, I didn't hit it. So, but the umpire gave it out. So it is out on the book. But I didn't hit it. He's sitting me off. But, so yeah, he's a very, very good bowler. And obviously his batting's coming along a lot as well. So yeah, a good cricketing family.
Oh, well, that is excellent here, Rehan. And again, we'll be, you know, watching all of your development, I suppose, over the next few years. I mean, to think you're only very, very early into your county cricket journey, basically a season. So, yeah, plenty of time for both yourself and, of course, your brothers to really make a name yourself here in the English and Welsh county circuit. And talking of that circuit, we've spoken about the journey from Notts and even back in grassroots cricket in Nottinghamshire, moving to Leicestershire. And then in 2021, you made your Leicestershire County Cricket Club first team debut. What was that like? And what can you remember from that incredible occasion?
Well, I was at my club training, to be honest. We had a 50 over game, a Royal London game against Yorkshire on the weekend, on the Sunday, I think. And I think I got told on a Friday that I would be playing. So I was training and I missed a couple of calls from Nico. And obviously, I didn't know because my phone was in my bag. And obviously, he rang my dad. My dad was sidearming. I had his phone. He had his phone in his pocket. And he thought Paul Nixon's ringing him. So obviously, I thought it's a bit strange Paul Nixon ringing him out of nowhere. So he rang him and he said, where's Rahan? So my dad gave him the phone to me. And he was like, you're making your debut on Sunday. And it's just one of the things that I was heart dropped near my leg somewhere. There was so many emotions. I was just... excitement, nervous, and everything, but I felt ready because it was one of the things I was always waiting for at the same time. So, carried on with my training session. I felt even better in the nets after that. So, yeah, I just felt ready. And obviously, the cup presentation as well, just before the game. Can't forget that. So,
well, it's an immensely special occasion, isn't it? You know, making your debut for one of the 18 first class counties here in England and Wales, that can never, ever be taken away from you. And in terms of the day itself, Rehan, do you remember the score that you got? And do you remember your bowling figures? Do you remember basically how the game turned out, really?
Well, yeah, it was quite an entertaining game. We did lose the game. We got about 320. It was a flat wicket. It was so flat. We got 300, bat first, got 320. And Yorkshire chased it down. Harry Duke got 100 and George Hill got 80-odd. My bowling figures were 0 for 70 in 10 overs. But the thing was, the figures looked very bad. Well, they looked going at sevens, obviously. But at the same time, I felt quite comfortable bowling. I think, obviously, the way, if you see how Harry Duke plays, he's very, like, a very square touch player. And he's got a bomb in him too. So he was like, guiding and lapping me and stuff. So, but I felt like I was in the right place, if you know what I mean, even though the scoreboard doesn't really show that. So, obviously, my next game was a better game for me, figures-wise. But I didn't bowl as well as I bowled at Yorkshire. So, it's quite a funny game.
Yeah, it is. That's a good way of describing cricket, to be honest. You know, one day you're bowling absolutely fantastically. The ball's coming out nice. You think, oh, I'm on for a few wickets here. And then you go wicketless. Yeah. They might hit you for a few runs. But that is the nature of the beast, Rehan. And again, it's going to happen in cricket, but you just have to take it. And again, it makes those really good days, those special days where you take 4 or 5 wickets, makes them a lot more special. It really does. And talking of a game which, again, was a bit frantic, a bit frenetic, shall we say, was the game against Warwickshire at Edgbaston. And this is where I first kind of saw you in the flesh, really, on the professional circuit, taking figures of 1 for 47. And the one thing that I still remember is the googly. That's something that I've mentioned so often here on the podcast. And another thing as well was your fielding. I noticed you're a bit of a live wire in the field. Do you take a lot of pride in your fielding, Rehan?
Yeah, well, yeah, fielding is so important. Obviously, you field more than you bat and bowl. So if you don't enjoy it, cricket's a long, long day for you. It'd be a very long job. So obviously I love fielding. It's like one of my favourite things to do. Like if I just field 50 overs and don't bat, don't bowl, I'll still be happy. So yeah, obviously fielding, you can never be like good enough for fielding. Like obviously you're never the best fielder. There's always someone better than you in fielding. So yeah, it's always just keep working on it.
Absolutely. Yeah, fingers crossed. They're always nice, aren't they? Especially for us as the fans, my goodness. It's always nice to see like a Ben Stokes catch against South Africa. You never forget them, to be honest, as fans or indeed as players, I suppose. You can talk about those stories for years to come. And in terms of that 2021 season, Rehan, before we talk about the 2022 Under-19 World Cup, how would you describe it in your own words? You know, your debut season in county cricket, you appeared pretty much solely in the Royal London One Day Cup. You didn't play in the Blast or the County Championship. But how would you go about summarising your personal 2021 season in your own words?
It was quite a weird season because I didn't perform the best with my bat and ball for academy before I got my contract. Obviously, last season, I got 100 in my first game, and then after that, I kind of went 10s and 20s and 30s runs, and then obviously, bowling wasn't the best either. But the year before, I had the best season. Well, it was a COVID year season, but I still had quite a good season. But it was funny because I didn't have the best season, I still got the contract. So yeah, but when I did get the contract, I felt that I was ready for it, even though obviously I didn't have the best season before that. So just a great season, probably the best season of my life, really. Gym of my life around, so.
And fingers crossed, Rehan, it's the first of many good seasons to come. No, I've got to be honest, it was a very, very impressive first season, because although you look at the stats, 5 wickets, an average of 63.6, I don't think that was the point, to be honest. I think it was the way in which you bowled. And that is something which stood out, not just to me, but a lot of people in the county circuit. And that's probably what stood out to Leicestershire as well, because you can just see with certain players, they just have this extra bit of talent, and you need to, you know, strike while the iron's hot, as the saying goes. You need to take advantage of that, per se, and give them a contract and give them a go. And a club like Leicestershire, brilliant for nurturing young talent. I have absolutely no doubt you've made the right choice of club. And you also alluded to there the batting. 89 runs, an average of 44.5. I'm guessing that I know the answer to this question already, but again, is that a real fascinating avenue of your game that you're trying to strengthen heading into the future? And I suppose, what is your style of batting? For those who don't know, how do you actually approach the game of cricket with the bat in hand?
Well, batting's obviously, I told you, is the best. It's my favourite thing to do. I can literally, if I'm on a bad day, I'll have a good net. I'll be all right. So I love batting. And obviously, I try to think of myself as a good batsman. Sometimes it doesn't come off. But I guess that's with everything. It depends on the situation, because obviously with the England 19s, I was batting at 6 or 7. With Leicester last year, I was batting at 8 or 9. But then with the academy stuff, well, since I was 11 going upwards till last year, I was batting at 3 or 4. So I've always seen myself as a top order batsman. And obviously, I like to take my time to the start, and then hopefully if I've been in the back end, catch up. But batting at a bit lower down, it doesn't really give you time to get in, really. And obviously, flat wickets, you need to get going straight away. There's no time to waste. So think about adapting different games. But hopefully I can get up the Leicestershire order soon.
100%. Yeah, that is the goal, isn't it, in the next few years, I suppose. Batting 3 and 4, so that is quite a bit of a drop. Was that quite difficult to adjust to, not just in the Under-19 World Cup, but of course, for Leicestershire last season? Because, as you said, completely different game situations, completely different, you know, time pressures as well, completely different bowlers. Was that quite difficult to adjust to in your first season?
Well, the first game I played against Yorkshire, about 8, and we needed 3 overs left, and I thought, I'm going in from first ball, I literally need to try and whack every ball for 6. And I finished on like 11 off 7 balls or 8 balls. So I didn't get anything away. But then when I played for the 19s, when I was playing for the 19s, and I was batting, it didn't feel that off because obviously I would go in, I'll have, say, 10 overs left to bat. If I'm batting at 6 or 7, I'll have 10 overs. I could find a way of nurturing a game, then hopefully in the back end, go again. But yeah, it was quite a big drop. But at the same time, for example, against Notts, when we played them with Leicestershire, they got us down quite early. So I was in, I think, the 23rd over, something like that. And I think I ended up on like 40 not out. And that was just me batting as if a top order batsman. They was moving around corners. It was a green seamer. So that was me like batting as a number three batsman. So yeah, so it was quite a big drop down, but I don't think it really affected my game. I think I just need to improve, obviously, to bat in different positions.
Fair enough. Again, it's an important aspect of cricket. It's that flexibility. It's about being dynamic and, again, adjusting to different game situations. Such a vital lesson for any young cricketer to learn, whether you're a batter, a bowler, even if it's in the field. You know, there's different situations require different approaches. And that is something which, again, you'll learn with time, Rehan. You've got plenty of time on your side. You're very, very lucky, to be honest. And in terms of that Under-19 World Cup, then, we have to talk about it because, as we've seen in this country, there's a fantastic reception, in particular after that semi-final against Afghanistan. What a remarkable game that was. But before we touch upon that semi-final and that fateful 46th and penultimate over against that young Afghanistan team, Rehan, when did you get the call? When did you find out you're going to be representing England in an ICC Under-19 World Cup?
I was actually in the swimming pool at David Lloyd, but I had the phone with me because we were told that we're going to get a call if we're in or not. So I was in the outdoor pool on the sun, like at the sunbed, and I was just waiting for the call. Like, I was just praying, saying that hopefully he rings me and it'll be good news. And John Abraham rang me and he was like, we're going to the West Indies. So obviously from then, I was just like, I didn't know what to do for a bit. I just kind of tried to take in the moment, lay down, didn't tell anyone. And then I rang my mum straight after, my dad, on a conference call, and I told them, and obviously they were happy and everything. But obviously there was a bit of a twist because the day before we were meant to fly out, we did COVID tests and I had COVID. So obviously I went to the World Cup a week and a half late. I missed the first two group stage games. But then when I got there, I felt like I was meant to be there. So it's quite lucky in that sense.
And you certainly proved that you deserve to be there as well, Rehan. As I said, we'll get onto the stats in a little bit, though. But was that not a little bit off-putting? To be fair, that's a lot to go through before a major tournament. Getting COVID, of course, that's a really, really horrible stroke of luck. Were there any doubts in your mind that you would have made it out to the Caribbean in the first place?
Yeah, well, when someone said you got COVID, and I was like, I tried to work out the days, and it was like 12 days of missings, which is 6 days of training, 2 games already, and quarantine there's 4 days. So it was like, it doesn't really add up with them. I don't think they would fly me over there, that makes sense. They've got other players, but thankfully they flew me over, I guess. So I flew over, but again, at that time, I always had some kind of belief in me that if I go there, I know I'll be ready. I'll give it my all, because when I did go, then I didn't take anything for granted at all. I was like, I've had like been off for 10 days, 12 days, wherever it was, and it's like it's time to like switch on now. So when I did get there, it was like just full go ahead. So yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rehan, fair play. Fair play to you. And I'm glad that you fully recovered as well, of course, from COVID. Horrible disease to get, really is. But that's remarkable, to be honest. The fact they had that setback on the eve of a major tournament. And here we are, what, like a week or two afterwards. And I just want to read out the stats, to be honest, just for the listeners, if I may. Just listen to these bowling stats. So 12 wickets in 4 games, an economy rate of 4.19, a strike rate of 18 and an average of 12.58. England's second leading wicket taker in the tournament behind Josh Boyden. And you also had the second best average of any English bowler in that tournament. Rehan, in hindsight, again, before we talk about the Afghanistan World Cup, we will get there eventually, listeners. But in hindsight, how would you describe your experiences and performances in that most recently concluded tournament out in the Caribbean?
Well, I was quite proud of myself. obviously, I played the first game in UAE. I didn't know how I was going to go. Obviously, it's a World Cup game. It wasn't on TV either, so there was a bit less pressure. But at the same time, it was like, I need to prove that I need the spot in the team kind of thing. And thankfully, I got 4 weeks in the first game. So obviously, after that, I kind of relaxed a little bit. Obviously, just gave myself some confidence, if anything. And obviously, we played South Africa and then we played Afghanistan and got 4 in each. So couldn't have gone better, I don't think, apart from took a couple in the final. It might have been a different story, but don't regret anything.
That's good to hear. And to be fair, that India side, ridiculously strong. From 1 to 11, my goodness, that side has got a lot of talent in it, to say the least. And just looking at those bowling figures, 4 for 30 against the UAE in your first game, 4 for 48 against South Africa. What a game that was as well. In particular for me as a Warwickshire fan, watching Jacob Bethel, 88 for 42 balls. What was that like, watching that maelstrom live?
I was sitting next to Will Luxon, I think, at the time, and we were literally calling every ball for four before he hit it. I don't know. It's crazy. Don't think I've seen anything like it. He did take the bowling apart. And then obviously Will Luxon came in at the end too. And got 45 not out, I think. So but yeah, watching Jacob do it the way he did, it was crazy.
It most certainly was. It was absolutely ridiculous to watch on the live stream. And yeah, Will Luxton finishing it off with a six, no better way to finish off a game. So that was a fantastic performance against South Africa. But arguably the biggest performance was, of course, that semi-final against Afghanistan at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium in North Sound, Antigua. Rehan, if you could just take us through that, those final few overs, and in particular the 46th over, what was going through your head at that moment? Because to be honest, Noor Ahmad in particular, he was beginning to turn the tides of that game in Afghanistan's favour. How did you maintain your composure as that pressure started to ramp up towards the end of that game?
It was one of them things because I didn't start well when I was bowling. If you had watched the game, then my first four overs were literally the worst overs I've ever bowled. I think I nearly hit my laces twice bowling that short. I don't think it was nerves or anything. I think I just panicked a little bit when the first ball didn't go right. But at the same time, I was like to myself when I was fielding and stuff, I told the skipper, I was like, I'll leak runs now, but then I'll come back hopefully later if you need me. When there's more pressure on it or there's something on it. And obviously, he had belief in me, Tom Prest, great captain, he had some belief in me and it came out good. So couldn't really ask for more.
No, it most certainly did go quite well, to be fair, at the end. And in terms of Tom Prest as a captain, how would you go about describing his captaincy style? Because when he turned to you in that 46th over, that to me was really impressive, because one of the biggest things as a young spin bowler is having the backing of your captain, in particular in a pressure situation. I mean, we've been speaking with so many county cricketers about this. You know, the likes of Mason Crane, Jake Lintott came up with this as well. Just how pivotal and integral was Tom Prest's confidence and backing of you, Rehan, in that particular moment in time?
Well, I think it just shows it. It was one of the worst bowling performances I've put my first four overs. And he still had belief in me to literally put the semi-final on my hands. So obviously him backing me was a massive part. But at the same time, I backed myself too. I said to myself, if it could go both ways here, they were in a pressure to lose because they got themselves into a winning spot. So if them losing from there, it's bigger than us losing from here. And that kind of relaxed me. And obviously when Tom Prest gave me the ball, he slowed everything down. He was so relaxed. The worst thing is when you're panicking is to see someone else panicking and then make it worse. So him being relaxed and me being relaxed just made the occasion quite relaxed, even though it was very crazy.
Well, it was a crazy situation. In particular, after, what was it, the 20 run over from James Sales and the no ball controversy as well. Like, that was a crazy end to that game. And Rehan, this is going to be a tough question, actually, but what would you say, in hindsight, was your favourite wicket from that fateful game?
Oh, I think Noor Ahmed was my favourite wicket. My favourite ball was my first wicket. I found another batter's name, but it was a googly ball between the gate. Well, so, but the main wicket I got was Noor Ahmed, I think, because he was going very well. And he also hit me for a 6-2 overs before. And obviously he was set. So getting him out and kind of relaxed everything. And getting him out made the Afghanistan team panic a lot. And getting two more in the same over, so he kind of ended the game. So
yeah, it was a fantastic end. It really was. It was a brilliant, brilliant game of cricket. And fair play to Afghanistan as well for taking it so deep in the end. You mentioned that ball. That's the one I alluded to earlier, the googly to Akhmadzai. That was an absolute jaffer of a delivery. Like, that sent Twitter into absolute raptures, to be honest. It was an insane delivery. And what about that catch from James Roo as well at the end?
Yeah, well, James Roo is one of the best fielders we've got. But that catch under pressure, it was a great catch. And at the same time, that same over, James Sales, Adeem Wicket, that catch he took under pressure as well, that was such a good catch too. I think that's quite underlooked, because if he left it, literally, if he dropped it, it would have been 6. And 6 was more important than obviously then. Wicket was less important at the time than a dot. So if we got a dot ball, then it was the same as getting a wicket at the time, especially after getting Noor Ahmed out. So them two catches kind of won us the game, I think.
They most certainly did. And at the end as well, Rehan almost took a hat trick. Do you kind of wish that board had crept through the gates of the number 11?
He came out and he switched hit me. So I was like, fair enough, he's got confidence, switch hit me first, number 11. And I thought he went literally straight to Tom Press, but it literally went near deep cover. I was like, oh, kind of got happy for a second.
That would have been the most insane end to a semi-final ever, because you would have got a fifer, a hat-trick, and won the game. Crikey, that would have been some memorable moment, that. But even so, what a game that was for England, and what a tournament it's been. I mean, everyone is so, so proud of you lads for the Under-19 World Cup. You should be immensely proud of yourselves. And yeah, there is some serious talent in that squad, to say the least. And Rehan, in terms of your personal journey, I suppose, in that World Cup, before we go on to our Twitter questions and wrap up today's episode with a chat about 2022, what would you say was the biggest lesson that you learned from your time over in the Caribbean with that Under-19 World Cup squad?
You're just never at the game. Like, we could have easily sat back against Afghanistan and obviously not kept our disciplines and lost the game. And we could have easily, against India, let them have the ease win easily. They got 119 with 48 overs. So I think if we had 12 or 15 more runs, it could have been literally a different story. But we literally fought till the end. And I don't think anyone in our team should regret it, because we literally gave everything. They did bat well. We didn't get enough runs. We did bowl very well at the same time. So yeah, you're just never at the game, whether you're batting or you're bowling or you're fielding.
You most certainly aren't. That's some very, very sagey advice for any cricketers out there. You know, it ain't over until it's over. That's the kind of mentality, the approach you have to have in this game. But Rehan, moving on from that World Cup then, and that was a remarkable tournament. It really was. We could sit here waxing lyrical about it for hours. So many fantastic performances. I think this is a nice place, actually, to pick up on our Twitter questions, because we did have a couple for this week. And I'll start with this one from Fize on Twitter first and foremost. He's a young, up-and-coming leg spinner, Rehan. And his question to you is, do you have any drills or any kind of training methods, I suppose, for young spinners, in particular leg spinners, to help them improve their game?
I think what worked a lot for me was literally the simple stuff, literally spot bowling, putting something down and bowling and adding challenges to it. So if you put a cricket ball down and see how many times you can hit the cricket ball in 30 balls and try and improve that every time you bowl. And obviously there's another drill, obviously putting cones wherever you want on the pitch and having, like, obviously, even if it's a half track or a full toss, you hitting the cone. Because that shows control. Like, if you can bowl a Yorker when you want or a half tracker if someone's coming down the track at you when you want, then It'll make you think on your feet a bit faster and help you a lot during games and pressure situations. So I think them two main drills is what I quite like. And obviously I like bowling to different batters as well. Whether they're not very good batters or very, very good batters. And they all count, so.
They most certainly do. That's the bowler's mentality coming in there. And it doesn't matter how you get them either. Again, that old Jaffa from the cricketing circuit. But no, some good drills there for Fize. So Fize, if you want to try those drills out, there you go, straight from Rehan Ahmed, a professional cricketer here in England and Wales. And our second and final question is from a good friend of mine, actually, Ajjad, aka Cricket for Us on YouTube. He's not an 11-year-old spin bowler, but this is for any young spin bowlers up and coming. Rehan, what advice would you give to an 11 or a 12-year-old spin bowler who's not getting the support from their coaches? Is there anything that they could do in their game or anything that you could try to, I don't know, advise them on to make them stick with leg spin as an art form?
I think like watching videos of how other leg spinners do it can be quite inspiring as well. Like at times, obviously, you're not always going to bowl well. I've had a year as well of very bad bowling, and I've kind of thought I don't want to bowl. I always wanted to bowl, but at the same time, I thought I don't think it might work leg spin. But I was like during the winter, I've put my head down. I've bowled. I just kept bowling. Whether it was bad or it was good, it just felt right until the season started. So I think two things: watching other leg spinners and learning how they do it, and always being open to learn. And the other one is it's just bowling. If you keep bowling, you can't really go wrong. If you keep bowling, so bowl yourself away.
Absolutely, yeah. Get the practice in. And you mentioned those videos because I read some articles actually. YouTube, I'm guessing, has had quite a big influence on your career, I suppose, Rehan. Do you have any go-to videos? Because I can think of one straight away for any leg spinner. It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. That masterclass with Shane Warne and Rashid Khan is an absolute diamond. Are there any other videos that you would recommend for any spinners out there, per se, that, you know, they could find quite useful?
Oh, well, I normally look at things that can give you confidence. So I normally just write in best wickets from leg spinners, and they'll come up with dream deliveries. And that kind of inspired me. I was just like, I want to do that too. And obviously, even commentators, like watching very, very good spells from Rashid Khan or newer leg spinners, upcoming leg spinners. Even Kes Ahmed, watching him in BBL. So there's a couple of leg spinners just in watching. Kind of inspired me.
And some excellent choices there. Case is a good spinner. Very, very good spinner. I think he's actually quite underrated. Was outstanding for Kent in last year's T20 Blast. Really instrumental, actually, in their success. And yeah, he did very well against my county of Warwickshire as well. So Case Ahmad, he's coming back this summer as well. Kent fans, so keep an eye out for him. I have no doubt that he'll be back in the wickets for the South Eastern County. And Rehan, talking of this summer then, what a fantastic place to conclude today's podcast with this upcoming season. 2022, it's going to be an absolute Jaffa of a season. It really is. There's so many fantastic cricketers on display in the circuit heading into all three formats this summer. From both a personal and a team perspective, what would you like to achieve heading into the 2022 season? Have you got your minds and your goals set on anything specific per se?
Well, I want to get my red ball cricket started with Leicester. I haven't played any red ball 4-day games, so I think having obviously playing red ball cricket, it gives you a different type of confidence. I think if you're good enough to bowl in red ball cricket for a long period of time, then but then there's also the blast, there's 100, there's all the little goals you put. But I'm not looking too far just yet. I think I'm just going to try and focus on red ball cricket for now, and then whatever comes later.
It's a good approach. And most importantly, Rehan, enjoy it. Enjoy. You know, it's all about the enjoyment. It's all about the love, the passion, the desire for the game. You know, that's what keeps you ticking over in county cricket. It's so, so important to keep that love of the game very much front and centre as your journey gets underway. And of course, Rehan, it goes without saying, but myself, Joe and Lucy here at the County Cricket Podcast, wishing both yourself and Leicestershire all the very best of luck heading into the future. I mean, I genuinely say this. The Foxes fans, you've got an absolute gem on your hands here. with Rehan. He's a very, very talented youngster and someone who I think will be tearing up county cricket for many, many, many more years to come. So Rehan, before we say our final goodbyes for tonight's episode, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
Not that I know of. No, I haven't got anything else to promote, really. Just a thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, our pleasure, Rehan. We were going to do it close to the season, but you know what? With the Under-19 World Cup, again, strike while the iron is hot. Do it when the time is right. And honestly, Rehan, it's been an absolute pleasure. You're always welcome back here on TCCP. And of course, we're wishing yourself and the club all the very best of luck heading into this season in 2022. But yeah, that's basically it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for tonight's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.